Tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business? Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. We handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. We handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. Locally owned and operated with over 30 years of payroll experience. We don't just process payrolls, we build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031. Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I am merely Mike Salmon alongside the wonderful John Ray. How you doing, John?
Magnificent, Mike. How are you?
Good. Hey, I understand you're doing like the national speaking tour these days.
I'm on the road, man. I came from jetting in here from Gainesville. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not.
Yeah, so I got to see you Friday at a chamber event in Gwinnett.
That's right.
Talking about, your expertise. You have a lot of expertises.
Well, thank you. Thanks for coming, actually. See, you know me well. The fact that you would come means a lot to me.
The fact that I actually paid money to hear you speak.
Yeah, even though you've spent 2.5 years with me on this show, and you actually paid money to hear me.
To hear you speak is priceless, though. Right. I would pay anything.
Thank you.
Speaking of speaking, we have another guest here. Her name is Lisa Tilt with Full Tilt Consulting. We're not going to pay to hear her speak, but she's got some pretty valuable stuff to talk about.
She does.
Lisa, good morning.
Good morning to you both.
You're with Full Tilt Consulting. You are the founder and the president. So tell us about your background and tell us what your company does.
Yes, happy to. Well, we are celebrating our lucky 13th year this year, actually this month. And we are a marketing communications firm that really focuses on business strategy. And we're building reputations for the companies that we work with, all different sizes, really, startups to, you know, a 40-year-old firm who's looking for a little bit of a refresh, and everything in between. And it's really about connecting them with the people that matter to them, right? There's so many people in the world. There's so many channels. There's so many ways to communicate. And so it's really finding that long tail and finding your specific audience. And that's what we help with. We're really keeping them crystal clear, keeping everybody efficient, really generating messages that resonate with folks in different ways. So
back in the old day, not to date ourselves, but, you know, back in the old day when it came to marketing and advertising, it was radio and TV and billboards and print.
Mm-hmm.
And today, social media has changed the whole landscape. So, I mean, you talk about the channels. There's so many more options these days.
There's so many, and I will try not to date myself either. We were still standing at the fax machine sending out 100 press releases a day, and that just doesn't happen anymore. And even the way that people communicate, you know, you've got Amazon and all these other companies that have created a way for everyone to tell you what products to buy. So there's a certain level of a service and a product that a company tells you to do, but what does my neighbor think about it? And that carries more weight. And so there's just so many different ways to communicate in that.
And now, Lisa, you find out right away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's instantaneous.
It's instantaneous.
Good or bad,
you're
going to know right away if you're doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, you have less and less control. You never really had control, but at least you could feel with 4 TV stations and a handful of radio stations and a major daily newspaper. And you had at least a way to take the message and try and hone it in a way. Now every person has a different interpretation of what that looks like. And you really have to pay attention to that. Every word really, truly matters today. And less is always more.
Okay, Lisa. Small business owners, mm-hmm. medium-sized business owners, I'm sure are listening to this and thinking, okay, marketing is a big subject.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me what areas of marketing I need to pay attention to that are going to have a big impact on my bottom line.
That's great. And marketing is an extraordinarily broad discipline in and of itself. I mean, even younger folks coming out of college will have, okay, I'm in PR, but what does that even mean today? Or I'm a digital marketing strategist, or, you know, at 1 year out of college, or,
sure.
You know, I do all these other things. I'm a website developer. I'm graphics. All of these components play into that. But at the heart of it, it's about delivering that message and it actually determining what that message is. So a small business, a large, a medium-sized business, large, it doesn't matter the size. It matters what information you want to deliver. And so what we really hone in on is that message first. You know, you hear a lot today about storytelling and how that connects. And if I'm a small business or, you know, in financial services, I might not think that that really pertains to my business, but it does. It just, what is that story? You know, it could be a business story. That's perfectly fine with that. It doesn't have to be sort of this fairy tale. But it's all about connecting, and we connect through stories. You know, when we think about, you know, even think about a picture. When we think of E-L-E-P-H-A-N-T, we think of a literal African elephant, you know, in his element. We don't think of those letters individually. And so when we think in pictures and in the stories that connect. And I think that's an important part. Graphics is a great part of marketing today, but it all has to play together for sure.
Where are companies, where can they really focus their efforts to get the most marketing and I guess the really help the bottom line?
Yeah, that really determines on where you want to go as a company and where you think that you are. You know, you could be a small company who is about to experience explosive growth, and you really need to figure out, oh my gosh, because it's all about whoever has the best talent wins. So that might not seem like a marketing aspect of it, but when we talk about something like employer branding, that is a marketing function. And you have to be able to be one of those organizations that is a great place to work, so you're attracting talent. So that's just one example. So determining where your business goals are, where your short-term, where you see the company going, and then finding marketing as a supportive element of all of those functions is critically important. So say that you in 5 years want to sell your company or look to possibly attract investors. Well, that is a different marketing path than, say, building a reputation. Or if you're a startup and nobody knows who you are, you have to become known somehow. All of those are different business functions and business strategies, and marketing has to follow those. So many people come to us and say, I need marketing. I don't know what that means. Or I need PR because my neighbor said I need public relations. I don't know what that means. I hear that constantly. And so my question is always back to them. Well, what's important to your business? Where are you going? What do you want to prepare yourself for? And then we can figure out marketing behind that. But it has to follow the business strategy. And I think so often we jump right into the, what are the marketing tactics I can do? I'll get a press release up on the website. I'd rather you not have a press release up on the website if there's no reason to spend the time to write the press release if you're not crystal clear on what business that's going to attract.
What I hear her saying, John, is basically have a plan.
Yeah.
Some sort of a plan.
A business plan, though. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Not just a marketing plan.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of business owners, when they hear marketing, they think customers, and it's a little bigger than that.
It's a lot bigger than that because customers are the outcome.
Sure.
Right? It's not the driver. So do you want customers for what purpose? Do you want customers because you are the best at what you do in your industry? Do you want customers because it'll give you a bigger footprint within a region or an area of expertise? Do you want customers just to move the bottom line? Or do you want to grow the organic business that you have with your current customers? And that's a whole different area to look at. You know, churn and managing for customer churn is exhausting and expensive. So are you truly, you have to look at your current customer base, and are you even maximizing that? Or are they walking out the door? So again, really understanding your business is an important part of that.
Now, you talked about employer branding. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little more about, unpack that a little. Obviously, I mean, you mentioned how important it is to be known as a great place to work, particularly in a full employment economy where it's hard to get great folks all the time. But talk about maybe some of the ways that you work with clients to develop that brand and why that's so important.
Yeah, we talk about overall reputation and sort of managing your reputation. Managing is sort of a loosey-goosey term, right? Because people can hijack that very easily. So it's almost like business insurance, you know, or just insurance in general. Make sure that you have this reputation base that's very, very strong to weather the ups and downs that will come with your business. But specifically, you know, employer branding, it's, we are low unemployment. It's a candidate's market right now. And people will learn about your business before they even pick up the phone to look at your job description or even apply. So when they do that, what does your company look like? And that even drills down to if they will, if and when they go to your Facebook profile, your business profile, what's the story that tells? Is it a fun culture? Is it a serious culture? Is it an, you know, culture that is out in the community? Is it, and how does that tie in with their personal preferences and values of some place that they want to work? These younger generations, that, I mean, it's important to everyone. We all feel that. I'm solidly a Gen Xer, but the, you know, the millennials and the Gen Z behind them are very articulate about what that looks like. And that's an interesting place to be. So, you know, there are many levels to employer branding. It even touches what is the experience that a candidate has when they walk in the door? What's, does the receptionist give a smile? Is the interview process consistent? Is there a follow-up? So many people, we call it, you know, ghosting, will come in for an interview and never hear another word. Not even an email or I filled the position or thank you for even spending your time. That loops back around. That person could be a great candidate for you 2 years from now, but you've lost them. If they were enough, you know, for you to bring them in. Now, we're talking about employer branding as a huge recruitment tool, but there are many aspects, different aspects to employer branding to consider as well. It attracts companies and customers and clients. So an employer brand, are you guys familiar, you know, Net Promoter Score, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Huge component. In fact, we have a program that's Net Promoter Score Marketing because it's that important. I've had a couple clients come to me and say, I just lost a piece of business to a company that has a better Net Promoter Score, and that is the reason that was articulated to me that we didn't win that piece of business. How do we turn that around? That's significant.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so if I'm a head of a medium-sized, larger company, I mean, I've got a lot of different departments. I mean, I've got to coordinate, let's say, between marketing and HR,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm working on my employer brand, how do you help companies do that? Because there's some traffic to control, right?
there is, and they're traditionally two disparate parts of the organization, frankly.
Sure.
Right? You have PR and marketing and whatever over here, and then you have HR doing its thing quite often, especially if you're a medium-sized company and you have, you know, onesie-twosies departments. And so they're not building, and then they're going to hire somebody. And so all of a sudden, HR is off here and internal communications, and they're doing their thing, and then marketing's over here. But in order to have that strength, that bench strength of really who's communicating, because communicating goes internal and external, and it has to have that same message. It has to be aligned. Because if it's not, then you're telling two different stories. And so when we love to play in the sandbox with HR, you know, 13 years ago when I started Full Tilt, it was an executive search firm. And we have been solidly in the HR industry and the HR fields since then. We work with, you know, large staffing companies and HR consultants because that is so important to how a business runs, but so is the communications part of it. And when those two can align and even get on the same page, they have two different languages. You know, the HR is talking about, you know, benefits and doing all their things. And how do we, communications is often an afterthought. Well, we've created the benefits program, or we're going to roll out this and da da. And then now we need to tell employees about it. But what about bringing everybody along the path? You know, communications really solves problems. It does. Transparency, it'll solve problems before they even happen. And some people are afraid of that. If that's not, I don't know what to communicate, so I'm not going to communicate anything. And that's actually a worse path to take.
Our guest is Lisa Tilt with Full Tilt Consulting here on North Fulton Business Radio. I know something that you also help companies with is called something called executive branding. Mm-hmm. Can you unpack that a little bit? What is executive branding? Is it what I'm thinking it is? A chief executive, you actually brand him. He becomes mm-hmm. like almost the face of the company?
Well, he already is the face of the company,
okay.
right? So there is a certain level of valuation that the reputation of an executive brings to a company. There is a direct correlation there. And some say, you know, even, you know, 30, 40, 50% of the company's reputation sort of externally is tied directly to it's not even necessarily just the CEO, but the C-suite's reputation and how much they're out there. So executive branding, yes, we work with sort of vice presidents and above because you'd be surprised. We call it the no constellation. You look on their LinkedIn profiles and it's that group that either doesn't have a headshot or doesn't, you know, have sort of these hero images or doesn't tell their story on LinkedIn. It sounds, you know, I get a lot of throwing the hands up in the air saying, well, I don't do social media. I'm like, well, you better do LinkedIn because it not only helps the company where you currently are, and I'm not here to, you know, recruit CEOs out of jobs, but it also helps increase the valuation of you as a professional. So your executive brand is your professional asset and whatever that means to you. So, you know, we early on in life, we say, oh, what are you going to be when you grow up? And you talk to little, you know, and they have, I'm going to be a fireman or I'm going to, you know, and you have all these, you know, what are they going to do? So you kind of go through life and trying, there's so much discovery and early education and all of that. And you think about, you know, fast forward, huge leap to today. And you talk about, you know, what kind of person are you known to be? When somebody mentions your name, do you get sort of this instant smile or is it an eye roll or is it a sneer or is it those are.
So you're saying there's like a branding and marketing for the company, but there's also a branding and marketing for the executive.
Very much.
Because there are so many companies out there that are faceless and headless mm-hmm. and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, what's the gentleman that does, you know, Virgin Airlines mm-hmm. and all the Virgin?
Yeah, Richard Branson. Richard Branson.
I mean, Richard Branson himself, mm-hmm. you think one way of him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, he's you know, out there and he's a risk taker and, you know, you think of excitement mm-hmm. and the things of him. And, of course, then there's the brands for his companies that he owns as well.
And you can't think of one without the other.
Right.
So if he has a misstep, think of Tesla, right? If mm-hmm. he has if Branson has a misstep, which, you know, people do because they're really out there and they're eccentric, but he's got that padding of being a person of value, of values, and really kind of pushing that out there versus Elon Musk is fighting quite a big brand reputation, and what does that do to his company and his organization? It's a direct correlation. Those are extremes, right? Those are two very extreme gentlemen as well as extreme companies. But it's very much, think of it as from the small company or even a mid-sized company where, you know, I'm the face of my company.
Right.
It's absolutely.
It's probably easier to market you than your company in some cases because you're the one out there networking and mm-hmm. meeting people, and they're meeting Lisa.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but more – so that is part of an evolution. I have so many of my clients say, okay, so when does it become me to the company, to me and the company? How does that transition take place? And the answer is always it depends on the life stage of your organization and where you want to take it. And that's certainly a whole kind of different conversation. But that branding part of it is – your reputation drives how you can influence and how you can affect. It is what is in the room before you even step foot in it. So your reputation precedes you, right? There's a reason that that's a saying. And so if you manage your brand in a very active way, it affects how people listen to you, how people take your ideas, how people will advocate for you. We're all going to have missteps. But have you built up that reputation of your own? And I'm talking professionally, but it's very difficult to separate a professional reputation from who you really are as a human, right?
And can I go down this rabbit hole a little bit more, John? I don't mean to steal all the
questions
keep
with
going,
Lisa,
man. But it's kind of fascinating. For example, one of the guys on – is there like a Jersey Shore? Right. Take one of their characters. I don't know. Name one of the guys. Anybody here a Jersey Shore fan? Okay, probably wrong room to ask that. But one of those guys to open a financial services company that doesn't match.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
So that would not be a good idea for him. So I mean, I don't know where I'm going with this, or if there's even a question, but it kind of has to make sense.
It
well, okay. As Trey says in the background, no, it doesn't. If I ask it, but it doesn't have to make sense.
It doesn't, but it's very helpful if it does. And there's certainly things that you can overcome, because you can actually, you know, the Jersey Shore guy can use that as sort of a tongue-in-cheek way to get into financial services and then prove his worth in that industry if that's truly an area of expertise. So there are ways to even pull into something that might seem to be a misstep, but to make it much easier on yourself, it's right. Much better to sort of align who you are, especially if you're starting a company. Again, this is, you know, kind of a startup area. Or even if you're looking to start a company, you know, you're 35 years into your profession. You've been working in a big organization. You have a reputation within that organization as a thought leader in this particular area. And you have in, you know, 5 years, you want to strike out on your own as a consultant or start your own firm or whatever. So how do you build yourself as a thought leader in that arena? Very, very easy, low-hanging fruit ways to do that on LinkedIn. And people don't utilize that. It's a surprising amount how people don't utilize that. And so, you know, it's writing a piece. It could be 600 words. We're not talking pages and pages of a 1,500-word piece. It's 600 words on the commentary of the day within your area of expertise. You post that on LinkedIn. You go, you know, speak on the topic. You really hone in. And this is where, you know, that long tail effect comes in, because you don't want to be all things to all people. Pick that area, that real focused area of what you do really well and what you enjoy as a professional, and go market the heck out of it. And there's so many great ways to do that, even online and through the professional social media realms. You don't have to go to Instagram with it.
And I guess you can reinvent yourself, because I think of someone like, you know, George Foreman. And today's mm-hmm. generation thinks of George Foreman in the grill, but right. the older folks, George Foreman was a bad mother, son
oh, yeah.
of a gun, I
Absolutely.
Mean, boxer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was a very, you know, mean person. That was his perception. And he became a gentle giant, and he revolutionized, you know, his whole brand.
Well, I'll give you a real life one. So my wife teaches middle school, and the subject of Shaquille O'Neal came up. And all they're eighth graders, you know, so they've got that perspective, and they said, oh yeah, he's the guy that's on the Icy Hot commercials, right? They didn't even know he played basketball. He used to play basketball. So yeah, I mean, your brand is a shifting thing. But I want to get to how maybe this whole issue of my brand versus the company brand, it's a little counterintuitive maybe for a lot of business professionals, because they're so used to, I guess, giving themselves up for the company. And so it's a little tough to go out and put themselves forward on behalf of the company, right?
Correct. And it's also a scary thing when you have to fully trust the team you've put together to help carry that message. Because in order for it to be about the company, again, he or she who has the best talent wins. And you have to be comfortable with that team behind you being the company. You for a while, you're going to be the face of that company. But and so that's what I talk about. The transition really has to be within your personal comfort, I think, with the team, as well as the position of the business. What stage of the business are you in? Are you really solidly doing great work, and you've got case studies and clients who are going to refer business, and you have teams on each of those accounts, and there are more people having touch points with your organization than just with you. And then that becomes, that comfort level changes a little bit. So then it becomes, you know, you're out there. If you're pitching for a speaking engagement, it's more about this is what our company does versus this is me who does this. And the shift, really, it can't be forced. It can't be rushed either. Because if you as the owner and founder don't truly believe that, your team is going to feel that. And so there are even very specific ways to say, okay, so for example, on my team, who's going to go out and own this area, either a geographic area. So, you know, one team member, one of our directors is going to go own sort of healthcare in Alpharetta, and what is she, or technology, and how is she going to do that? And she's going to be the face of Full Tilt. I am fully happy for her to do that. She's loyal to the company. She's excellent at what she does. The clients love her, like fully support that and support her and create those avenues for her to do that and help her along the way. It'll be mentoring, right? You got to mentor your team for them to be fully, for you to feel comfortable that they can speak to the company just like you can. And that's teaching. It's a process.
Lisa Tilt, again, our guest with Full Tilt Consulting. They've been pushing their clients forward since 2006, and our time is just about up, Lisa. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there anything before we say our goodbyes and give some contact information about Full Tilt that our audience needs to know about?
Can I shout out one thing?
Yes, please.
Because you're too modest to say. So, not to interrupt or anything, but so Lisa was named a Small Business Person of Excellence by the Greater North Fulton Chamber of Commerce. So that's one thing our listeners ought to know. Thank you. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. It was a unexpected, wonderful honor, and the process even it led to such discovery of my company and me personally and professionally, and so it was quite an honor. Thank you.
Well deserved.
let me ask a little marketing advice right now. When a company wins recognition like mm-hmm. that, or earns recognition like that, is that something they should be on the tops of the roof shouting it out, or should it be a little bit more subtle? How would you typically think that should be handled?
You know, with any announcement, it needs to fit with how your company, what your company personality is. And if you have one award like that, which we shouted, which was great because we are a little out there and we have fun, but we work hard in a serious way too. So we have a nice balance. But if that's not normal, then companies are going to say, wow, that's a little flashy for you.
Okay.
But still promote it. Still promote it. Just do it very authentically. I think that's an important thing to remember.
Great. Well, Lisa, for those that would like to find out more about Full Tilt Consulting, maybe look into your services, where can they get that information?
Best place is fulltiltconsulting.com. Everything there is on the web as it is. And, you know, we're here in historic Roswell area and so active in the North Fulton community, have a lot of clients here, and you can always see us out at different events for the North Fulton Chamber and Roswell Inc. and all of these. Great. We love this area and being active in it.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. And real quick, just I had to look it up to make sure I got some names right, but, you know, you got Mike the Situation and Snooki. So Snooki's financial services and financial advising probably wouldn't go over well just because of the reputation.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. But, you know, like Lisa said, if you adjust your brand that way, maybe it works.
You figure it out. If you get a good marketing company, a good company like Full Tilt Consulting.
That's right.
Maybe they can work it out for you. All right, we got one piece of business to take care of.
Yeah, we want to talk about Digital Ignition, where our studio is located, because it's the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. Nestled within a 45,000-square-foot building is an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desk, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, a classroom, a video recording studio, a fantastic break room with outdoor patio, and all the fresh ground coffee you can drink. If you want great co-working as well as space which impresses investors, customers, and future employees, visit digitalignition.com.
Sounds like a winner to me.
Well, Mike, I took our last week's guest through Digital Ignition. They wanted to see it. They were very impressed. So people need to come by and take a look.
It is. And then the building is unique. It looks like a spaceship from the outside. It's one of a kind.
It's one of a kind.
Yeah, you'll definitely open up some eyes. Well, anyway, I want to remind everybody, that you can listen to the show anytime you want, 24/7, by going to businessradiox.com, select the North Fulton studio, and then, of course, you select this show. It's North Fulton Business Radio, and you'll see all our episodes and archives there. For John Ray and our producer, Trey, I am Mike the Situation Salmon, and we'll see you next time here on Business Radio. Radio X.